Invite you to turn in your Bible. You can grab one out of the pew as well. If you have your own, turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 12. And then we're going to flip back to the New Testament, Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. The message this morning is entitled, Seeking Wisdom. And it's a graduation message. And so to our youth that are graduating, for you that maybe are just a couple years off, and for the rest of us, there's always a tidbit that will take home out of this morning, and I pray that you find that as well in this message today. But it's definitely aimed at our high school seniors this morning. This verse is 29:11 is also one of the verses that was read at Back Glory for them, if you're a West Lyon student. Canton, I'm not sure what their verse was, but so I picked up on this verse, and I threw a few more with it out of Mark. And so let's read these two verses here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then there's verse 12. Notice that there's action required with this verse. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. That's so important that we call upon the Lord. And then go back to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Verses 13 through 16. Now, this set of verses is entitled, Let the Little Children Come to Me, or you've heard that, the Little Children and Jesus. And so we're going to read this as well. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, as we open your word, may that word come to life through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those that have gathered here today, may you just fill them with the Spirit that opens their hearts, minds, and soul to receive your message. And Lord, I pray you fill me with that same Spirit, that these words are your words and never my own. In Jesus I pray, amen. Graduation is an exciting time, a time that you have looked forward to for many years. How many times have you said to yourself, and maybe you older people out there have said the same thing when you remember your days in high school, I can't wait until I graduate because then I'll be able to do whatever I want to do. How many of you remember that saying or that thought? Yeah, there's a few hands going up out there this morning. It's exciting time. Well, guess what, seniors? That time is now for you. You have arrived. So with that freedom comes great responsibility, though. Now it's up to you to start making those crucial decisions for yourself and what that looks like. Most of you will be moving on to some kind of secondary education or the military. Others might enter the workforce. But let me just say a few things. We live in a time when many of our universities, colleges have become very liberal where anything goes. Some have institutions. Some institutions are becoming more anti-Christian than we really know. Something to be aware of. Something I want to make you aware of as you enter into the world. In fact, you might even run into people who might try to persuade you that there is no God. And so let me point out a few things from our Bible passage this morning that will help you prepare for the future as you encounter these types of situations. And you will encounter them. I promise you that people will come against you. First, you will encounter people who will try to prevent you from getting to God. The disciples tried to keep the children from coming to Christ. I'm sure they thought that Jesus was too busy to be bothered by these little children. It's not that important, they probably thought. But then the Bible uses the word rebuked. Jesus rebuked them. If you look up the word rebuked, it's a pretty strong word. And that's what Jesus said back to his disciples. So just imagine these disciples, they're having conversations with these families, and these children are there. They get who Jesus is. There's probably a reason why they've gathered around him. And then to hear the disciples say, "Hey, he's busy, go away. He doesn't have time for you. He has more important things to do." And Jesus said, "No, that's not how I am. That's not who I am. Let them come to me." You will encounter people, some with very good intentions in this world, but yet they will try to keep you from walking closer to God. I want you to be aware of that in your young lives. For example, here in this story, it was even Jesus' own disciples. And so you have to be aware, you have to be on guard for these types of people. All too often, we who consider ourselves Christians, believers in Christ, might even prevent others from coming to God. And you might say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, let me just share a few examples with you this morning. We may not intend to, and you might not even have it on your radar that you might do these types of things that might push people away from Christ, or maybe they're afraid to talk about Christ because of the situation that they're engaged in or around or whatever it might be. But what about your actions? If they're unChrist-like, what about your language that you might use when you're outside there in the real world? What are they seeing? What are they hearing as you talk? What about your behavior? Could it drive them away from freely sharing Christ or maybe visiting about Christ in general, knowing that you're a Christian? So I want you to be aware of that. Now, I'm speaking to you today, church, people of God, especially when we have young lives around us that are still developing, that are still nurturing, and they're trying to figure out who this God is that they're serving and learning about. But you're also, young people, going to encounter people who have no belief. They deny that there's a creator God. They will tell you that, they will preach that to you, and they'll even try to give you scientific proof that God doesn't exist. Why do you think they call it faith when you believe in God? And so I want you to be aware. Today we live in a world that is anti-Christian. There's this anti-Christian sentiment some people have that has a tendency to want to keep you operating at the same level as them. They want to pull you into maybe their way of life or maybe their lifestyle or what their belief system is. And you've often heard this saying, misery loves company. It fits well here. Christians, people will try to pull you into that abyss of no belief, or why do you need to go to church? What has God done for you lately? Look at the world that we live in. It's falling apart. What kind of a God do you serve? Those types of things will come at you. And so in this world, you will run into non-Christians, and they will feel very uncomfortable around you when you start living like Jesus. But you know that your goal is also to share Jesus, to be that impression of Jesus to their lives. And sometimes that can be a struggle to do. Therefore, they will do things that will test your faith. They will challenge you in your belief of God. They might even cause you to doubt, because we know that as Christians, doubt enters anyway. Where is God in these situations? Is there really a God? Sometimes you might wonder that. At least I do sometimes, and I want to say that's totally normal. But there might be people in the world who might cause you to doubt even more, and I want you to be aware of those types of situations. They might even cause you to backslide. Statistics show that college-age students are the fastest-growing segment to leave the church and to abandon their faith. That age group. Some come back when they get married and they have children. They come back into the church, but not all of them. And so listen up, seniors that are going on. The chances of you losing your faith is very high. So I want you to hang on to what you have. We gave you a Bible this morning, the Word of God, and I want that to go with you. I want you to be prepared for what the world's going to throw at you. And I know that your families want you to be prepared as well. You and I need to realize that no matter where you're at in life and what stage of life that you're in, that God still wants to be involved in your life, young people. He wants to go with you to college. He wants to go with you to the military. He wants to go with you into the workforce and wherever you end up in this world. He wants to be there. He wants that relationship with you. But often, too many times, we think that our lives are too trivial in comparison to the world's problems, and that our faith life sometimes doesn't really matter. Or life becomes so busy that your relationship with Jesus gets moved to the bottom of the priority list. Other things have trumped God in your life. And you need to be aware of that. But however, God loves you and I so much that He wants to be involved with those trivial things in our lives as well. He wants to know about them. He wants you to share them with Him. He knows what you need before you ask, but He wants you to ask. He wants you to pray. He wants that personal relationship with you in your life. And so no matter where you find yourself in the future, whatever situation you find yourself in, that is exactly why Jesus came to this earth. That is exactly why Jesus died. That is exactly why He rose from the dead. To forgive your sin. That you may have life. He is there to walk with you. We've been dealing with this graduation thing now for a few weeks, and most of you families have been preparing and so on, and as we talked the other night, the page is about ready to turn for these young lives. And so you begin the next chapter of life, and you start that new chapter. And you might think that this is where life begins. I finally made it. And you've accomplished much, and I'm proud, and I'm glad for you to be there. But let me share something with you this morning. True life begins when we accept Jesus into our lives. That's real life. That's where it happens. Many of us might think that once we've moved out from mom and dad, that life begins. Just as soon as we're out of reach of our parents, then presto, our life begins. We can't wait till we graduate. We desperately yearn for the time when we can make decisions for ourselves on our own, Mr. and Mrs. Independent. You want to make your own money to buy your own things. And you want to do what you want to do. And the world will tell you that that is true freedom. But really, true freedom is the chance to do what is right in your life. That is true freedom. True freedom doesn't make selfish decisions, but decisions based on what God's will is for your life. And so young people, listen closely now. God's will isn't always easy. It will be difficult. It's not always fun. It'll be challenging. But it is always right. Finding God's will for your life will be the sweet spot that you desire. And that goes for all of us. When you find the sweet spot of God's will, then you know you're there. That's true freedom. And I encourage you to find that place in your life. Figure that out. Now, you might have a few bumps as you go, and you might learn some hard things as you go. But seek that in your life. But let me also give you a little bit of a warning this morning that the world wants to sell you its version of life in a desperate way. There are commercials that in fear that if you drink their drinks, you obtain the high life, right? Or the good life. The world wants us to believe that life is about owning material objects. The one with all the gold rules. Or the one who has the most or best toys at the end wins. But get this. Here's a question I want to throw at you this morning. The only problem with that lifestyle is, when does it end? Never in the world standards. We live in a day and a time when owning the best can and will only last until tomorrow. Look at technology, for example. What is cutting edge today will be a dinosaur tomorrow. That is America. Don't allow these secular viewpoints to influence your spiritual decisions in life. All the components of a good life begin and end with God. Period. If you look at the scripture we read in the book of Mark, when those families were gathering around Jesus, I believe that the parents of those children knew this. And to some degree, the children knew this. This is where life begins, at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's why they wanted to come. For such is the kingdom of God. Look at verse 16 if you have your Bible still open with you. Mark 10, verse 16. Look at the intimacy there that's talked about in the scripture. And this is what it said. And he took them into his arms, and he blessed them. Living life in the arms of Christ. That's what it's about. Christ offers the abundant life. Let me shift gears with you just a little bit here this morning. Let's talk about wisdom and what you'll encounter when you get out there to the real world. True wisdom comes from God, not from trade schools, not from colleges or universities or even the workplace. The world wants you to believe in yourself, which isn't a bad character flaw, unless it goes to the extreme where you become extremely selfish yourself. But I've discovered that when we discover the truth, it isn't an accident. Only God reveals truth. It doesn't matter what arena you're in, school, work, or life, truth still comes from God. And if we need wisdom, young people, listen up again. If you need wisdom, where should we go? We go to the Word of God. That's where we find our answers. We don't concoct them in our own little minds with emotion and whatever might be going on. We seek wisdom and truth from the Word of God. That's where we find it. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I am not opposed to education, not in the least. I want you to go on and be educated and to change the world. But I also want you to be aware where you can find wisdom and truth. And I also believe that the desire to learn and grow is biblical. In Scripture, it's said that Jesus grew, not only physically, but in the ways of God, in the knowledge of God. And we are to do the same thing in our lives. And so you also need to realize that God is all-knowing. So if you need to know something, you should seek the one who's all-knowing. Your God, your Creator, Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. Always seek wisdom from God in everything in life, and your paths will be straightened. in this crazy, hectic world. May God bless our seniors today, and for those that are going on in education as well. And all of God's people said,